I didn't know a lot about the famous French figure Joan of Arc. You probably heard of her, maybe you know more about her than I do, probably. Know a few things. She was executed when she was about 19 or so. French heroine of the Hundred Years' War between the French and the English about control of their territories. It was kind of a long, bloody mess. Another story, another time. Toward the end of it, she got these visions from God, wound up leading the French army, defeating the English, becomes a French national hero. And then, as things twisted and turned, she was turned over to the English by her own countrymen. And then the English church took over, at that point still Catholic. They put her on trial for heresy, and in the end, Joan of Arc died, executed as a heretic. I've been to the place where she was executed, Rouen, France, up near the coast by the English Channel. It's a rather hideous-looking church that stands on the site. You step back and realize that the church is shaped like it is for reason. It's shaped like it's on fire, because she was burned, Joan was, at the stake for heresy. Wrongly. Later, the church investigated, realized that they had burned the wrong person, so to speak, and she was canonized as a saint and is now a great French national hero and a saint and daughter of the church in good standing. So as she is being executed in Rouen, France, in 1430, on May 31st, she is there, and she asks the two priests near her to stand by her as she is burning, and she says to them, "Hold a crucifix in front of me." And then famously, she says to them, as the fire begins to burn, she says, "Hold the cross high so I can see it through the flames. Hold the cross high so that I can see it through the flames." And with that, she died. What courage. What a lady. That is impressive. Imagine what that must have taken for her to do that. Imagine the trust and the faith and the conviction and the calm understanding that the cross was always her salvation and always her hope and will be her saving grace, even to the last breath of her life. Even as she's being tortured to death, the cross is what gave her consolation and solace and strength. "Hold the cross high," she says, "so I can see it through the flames." And as far as I know, they obliged her. Now, I didn't actually know about the last part of the story, the famous quote. Ignorant person that I frankly am, you might not know this, but it's true. But it came to my attention a little while ago, this quote from her, and it was last summer, last July, August, September. And back then, to roll the clock back a little bit, thinking about this in light of this year's Good Friday and all that's passed in the last year of my life, of the world's life, of your lives, of the church's life, rolling back the clock, last summer in August and fall, there was, well, headline after headline of all the awful things that priests and cardinals and bishops have done to harm people in the church, just page after page. And went through like a week and a half, 2 week and a half, then 2 month long stretch where there was always more things coming out. And just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it got worse. This revelation, this problem, this cardinal, this figure. And so right at the height of the social media storm over the churches burning to the ground this last summer over all of this mess, as people are posting things and I'm posting things and everything else, one person sent me a quote, a friend of mine, off of their Facebook page. And all they said in the entire thing was this: "Hold the cross high so I can see it through the flames. Hold the cross high so that I can see it through the flames." That was the only comment about the entire situation. That's when I first learned of Joan of Arc's famous quote last summer. Awesome. For this person who I knew, and for all the rest of us too, our hearts were broken by the reality of human sin. And not only that, the sin of the people who ought to be the sinless ones, the leaders, us, the shepherds, how tragic the whole thing continues to be, frankly. How sad for our victims whose lives were robbed and innocence was robbed by those who should never have done what they did. So in the face of all that anguish, of people who've been hurt, of wrongs that were done, when we wonder, what are we going to do? What's going to sustain us in all of the confusion? Someone simply says, look on the cross and hold it high so I can see it above everything else. The church I love is on fire. People's lives have been hurt, and I want to look at the cross above everything else. Nothing else needs to be said. I just want to look at the cross. It was a perfect quote. It was the quote of the summer, as far as I was concerned. Life is that way, I think, sometimes. There are points in life when we find ourselves in the flames, do we not? When things are very hard. And it happens like at work, it happens in a household, it happens in families, it happens in a marriage. It happens to us as priests. We have our bad days, it's true, once in a while. It happens out in the world when America wrestles with hard questions and our politics get so ugly and when the church lets us down and when all these things kind of worry us. Or when we get older or even not older and we have physical pain and infirmities and diseases and sicknesses, there's all of this fire around us all the time, isn't there? And so we come back to Joan of Arc's famous quote, hold the cross high, let me look at it and see it through the fire because I need its consolation. I need to know that somebody did this already ahead of me and that from the cross the Lord lends me, gives me his strength. And with that in my sight line, I can make it through the fire. Doesn't matter what it is, but I can do it. Hold the cross high so that we can see it through the flames. That's the story of life sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes it's just that way. Fast forward to last Monday of all days, Holy Week, this year, 2019, and we all saw this, many of us on TV, the tragic, horrifying, devastating pictures from across the world as Notre Dame Cathedral in France catches fire, 800-some-year-old building. And there were the scenes along the Seine River of the crowds of the Parisians kneeling in prayer, weeping as they watched their beloved Mother Church, which up to that point they did not pay much attention to, and they were honest about this fact. Up to that point, they didn't seem to care because it was part of the scenery. But that day on Monday, just this past Monday, there the whole thing went up in flames. Heartbreak. Tragedy. And as some people pointed out on the social media circuit, is this a metaphor for France, for the Christian West, for the church, for life? I don't know, whatever, right? No one likes to see churches burn, certainly not that one. So it was a hard, hard day, and we all felt the anguish, and the outreach effort of that has been remarkable. President Mark Cohen says that we're going to rebuild this church. I agree. It's a great idea. But how cool was it when that very night on social media and the next morning, the other pictures began to filter out of the church itself, and we probably saw the famous picture now of the cameraman peering in the front doors of the church and looking at the high altar of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And there, in the dark, with the water line streaming across it from the fire hoses and the little fire flickering above and the light coming down from the now pierced hole in the ceiling, shining right down on the cross, there it is, the golden cross of the high altar. The cross survived. The cross stood out. The cross endured. The cross was this beacon in this whole messy, tragic story. And life began to kind of emerge again, and hope began to spring forth that they could maybe save the place, and perhaps it was going to go on, and it could even be perhaps better when rebuilt in the way that maybe we can do today. Who knows? But in that image, hope began to dawn. And there on social media, the bear of all things these days, right? Social media. There comes the quote, hold the cross high so I can see it through the flames. Perfect. Story of the week. Story of life. Story of Good Friday. Why is it that every single year for centuries now, the church says to us that we have to gather like this on Good Friday afternoon and hear the passion proclaimed and sing the songs? Why does the church tell me as the celebrant that I have to walk around church with the cross held high? Why is it that when I'm done with that, you all come forward after me and you kiss the cross, touch the cross, genuflect and reach out and embrace it? What is the reason? Because the church in her wisdom knows that as life gets kind of fiery, and it does happen, it's easy to lose sight of the cross, the one thing that endures and gives solace. Hail the cross, our only hope, the great French motto of Notre Dame University. We lose sight of it if we don't venerate it, if it's not held high. Then life kind of clouds our vision, and the world goes off track, and we go off track, so it's got to be held high. So on Good Friday, we hold it high. And we do it because the church says this needs to be burned into our vision, firmly implanted in our hearts, firmly. So that way, when life gets kind of messy and kind of fiery and things take twists and turns, we'll be rest assured that it will always be in our vision. Good Friday exists as a ritual to implant the very first day of the cross firmly in our vision, so we can always hold the cross high. Always hold the cross high. The one on which the Savior died. The one that held the one who gave his life for us. The cross is just a piece of wood, except for the fact that the one who died on it did so much for us. How loving, how beautiful, how powerful. In that symbol, the world rises and falls. In that symbol, our life rises and falls. Hence Good Friday, hence the ritual, hence all of its power. It is a very, very important day. Hold the cross high so that I can see it through the flames. Hold the cross high so that I can see it through the flames.